And from Winnipeg, Manitoba, that was Paris to Kyiv from their CD Fragmente, which means fragments, and that was the Trans-Siberian Blues. Вітаю вас всіх, шановні радіослухачі, на радіопередачі «Наш голос», яка передається із чудового Ванкуверського острову. Hello there, and welcome to «Наш голос» Ukrainian Roots Radio, broadcasting from beautiful Vancouver Island, Canada, for PCJ Radio. I'm Paulette Demchik-McQuarrie, your host. Thank you so much for tuning in to «Наш голос». We have a great program lined up for you. Vasil Pavlovsky will be by with his cultural capsule, and he'll tell you all about Ukraine's Gutenberg. And we'll have a news feature as well on this program, courtesy Deutsche Welle Radio, and our usual proverb of the week, and plenty of great Ukrainian music. And coming up next is Sonia from Nashville, Tennessee, from her CD Vid Shcheroho Serdetsya, From the Heart, and Bila Mene Mate. My mother spanked me so I wouldn't go out with the soldiers, but didn't do any good. Here she is now, Sonia from Nashville, Tennessee.
Брутом, щоб пія не стояла, з молодим рекрутом, щоб пія не стояла, з молодим рекрутом. Лай, 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 а я собі стояла. Запіли на двері воду ляла, щоби не скрипіли на двері воду ляла, щоби не скрипіли. Лай, 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 на двері воду ляла. Ходила, щоб мати не почула, щоб не сварила, щоб мати не почула, щоб не сварила. Лай, лай, лай,
а мати ще не спала. Все чисто чула, на мене не сварила.
Сама така я була, на мене не сварила. Сама така я була.
Radiocast.ca – це наша адреса в інтернеті. Українська радіопрограма з Ванкувера «Четверта хвиля».
Ukrainian programming – the fourth wave from the Burnaby Mountain.
Ми виходимо на хвилі 91 FM в Ванкувері. Також ловіть наш потік через вебсайт cjsf.ca.
Покинь карі очі.
Saskatchewan groups for you there. That was Tout et Tam that you just heard, which means, of course, here and there, and that is from their first CD, which is self-titled. And Oi Bolet Mia Holovonka, My Head is Killing Me, and we're not going to even take a guess as to what might have prompted the lyrics of that to that song, or at least the title. And before them, you heard Voloshki, also from Saskatoon, from their CD Fantasia, and Meni Voroshka Vorozhila, The Fortune Teller. Well, coming up next, we're going to move a little bit east, just to the next province, to Manitoba, and a group that has just recently released a CD, and it is called Sealed with a Kiss. It is by the Female Beat, probably the world's only all-female polka band, and here they are now with an interesting rendition of a non-Ukrainian song. They call it the May Day Retreat, and I think you will recognize it as Bonaparte's Retreat. Here they are now, the Female Beat.
Thank you.
You're listening to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio, broadcasting from Vancouver Island, Canada, for PCJ Radio. And now, Nachveli Chasu, news from today's Ukraine, courtesy Deutsche Welle Radio.
Ukraine is confident about its ability to host next year's European Football Championship, Euro 2012. Ukraine won the bid to host the event with Poland. From the very beginning, there have been allegations that Ukraine wouldn't manage to finish all the necessary preparations on time. But during his visit to Poland, Ukrainian President Viktor Yanukovych sought to persuade his critics that all would be well. Hircho Korkamp reports.
Just when Ukraine thought the worst part of the preparations for next year's European Championship was over, rumors have it again that Ukraine will not be ready in time and that Germany is ready to step in and organize the event together with the Poles. The preparations were high on the agenda during a two-day visit to Poland by the Ukrainian President Viktor Yanukovych. For both countries, organizing Europe's main soccer event is a matter of national pride and a first-class public relations opportunity none of them would like to miss. No wonder, therefore, that Yanukovych was eager to stress that the preparations for the championship, as far as Ukraine are concerned, were on schedule. Of course, he said, at the beginning of 2010, there were significant problems with the preparations of Euro 2012, and I found it painful to hear that maybe Ukraine would be expelled from the list of countries where this wonderful event would take place. Among the problems were the slow pace of the reconstruction of the Olympic Stadium in the capital Kiev, the development of all necessary infrastructure, and the extremely high costs of many projects. Doubts about whether Ukraine could cope with all arising difficulties have lingered ever since the country won the bid to organize the championship together with its neighbor Poland. But all this has now been overcome, according to the Ukrainian president. We spent a lot of government money, he said. We put in a lot of energy and intellectual effort to get back on track, and today we are ahead of schedule. That has been a very difficult task, but we managed to achieve this. I am very satisfied to be able to say this now, and I thank all participants in this process, including the Polish side. The Ukrainian parliament on Friday adopted a special law aimed at smoothing the preparations. Yanukovych also acted this week to end what some Ukrainian media have already dubbed the Great Patriotic Football War. European soccer's governing body, the UEFA, had given Ukraine a week to end the pressure on the president of the country's National Football Federation, who has been under attack from opponents who seek his dismissal, reportedly including a government minister responsible for organizing the European Championship. Failing to do so could well result in suspension from international football and thus in losing the right to organize Euro 2012. Yanukovych, who officially has no right to directly interfere in the federation's business, has now called to suspend the quarrels until late next year, that is, after the championship is over. Hircho Korkamp, Deutsche Welle Radio, Moscow.
The call to prayer goes out across the busy streets of Simferopol, summoning the Muslims of Crimea to worship. The Muslim Tatars have long struggled to preserve their culture and traditions, but since they were allowed to return to Crimea after being deported by Stalin in the 1940s, they say they still face injustice and discrimination in what they see as their ancestral homeland, where they're now massively outnumbered by ethnic Russian Christians. I've been here for 960 days. Today is the 961st. That's how long this man, Sadamet Smailov, has been living in a ramshackle cabin by the side of a road in Simferopol, standing guard over a pile of bricks. But for him, these are no ordinary bricks. They should one day form part of the foundations for a huge showpiece mosque, which the Tatars want to build here. So far, though, the authorities have refused to allow construction work to begin. It's caused even more resentment among the Tatars. But Smailov says he has no intention of giving up.
I didn't expect it would take so long. However, since this mission was entrusted to me, I have to fulfill it. I have to see it through to the end because it is important for the Muslims of Crimea and for my children. You have to be persistent and protect your own rights.
For families like this one, the main problem is land. Many Crimean Tatars haven't been able to reclaim the lands which their relatives possessed before they were deported by the Soviet regime. Some of them have resorted to direct action, seizing small pieces of territory without permission and building new houses for themselves. The authorities have warned that this is a crime and could provoke ethnic tensions. But the Tatars believe it's a movement for justice.
Land squatting is the wrong expression to use. It's not land squatting, it's a rightful takeover of the land which used to belong to our ancestors. My father and my mother were born in Crimea. As Crimean Tatars, we have the right to our land. That's why the term land squatting really irritates me. If the government doesn't take steps towards helping us to resettle in our motherland, they're forcing us to take steps to establish the right conditions for ourselves.
The Russian Black Sea Fleet stages its annual celebration at the nearby Crimean port of Sevastopol. The sound of Russian guns is disturbing for many Tatars with their tragic memories of the past. Earlier this year, Ukraine's new pro-Moscow government signed a deal to allow the Russian Navy to maintain its base in Crimea for another 25 years. What worries the Tatars is that many ethnic Russians living here not only want the Russian warships to stay, they also want the region to return to Moscow's control.
I think the Russian fleet should be here forever. Historically, Crimea was Russian. Don't we know our history?
If there was no fleet, the city wouldn't exist anymore. It would simply die.
A Tatar song about life in exile and longing for the homeland. Mustafa Jamilev was one of the many who suffered the terrors of deportation while he was still just a child. He later spent years in Soviet jails as a dissident, and he's now the Tatars' political leader, seen by many of them as a hero. He believes that Ukraine's pro-Russian leadership has helped to create an atmosphere where prejudice is growing again.
Aggressive pro-Russian groups, chauvinistic groups, have become the allies of the state. The Crimean Tatars are opponents of both the authorities and those chauvinistic groups. That's why we are in a very difficult situation. First of all, there is now intensive propaganda against Crimean Tatars. Any issues that are related to Crimean Tatars are exaggerated and overblown. Everyone is trying to depict us in a negative way.
Back at the mosque in Simferopol, teenagers recite verses from the Quran as their parents try to keep their traditions alive. They may have returned to their ancestral homeland after years of exile, but for the Tatars, the future remains uncertain. Matthew Collin, Deutsche Welle Radio, Crimea, Ukraine.
Opposition groups in Ukraine say the authorities have launched a campaign designed to weaken them ahead of parliamentary elections in 2012. Several members of the cabinet of former Prime Minister Yulia Tymoshenko have been arrested on various charges, and Tymoshenko herself is under investigation. President Viktor Yanukovych says the claims are groundless. Hiro Korkamp reports.
Can it be a coincidence that some 12 members of the opposition in Ukraine are all under criminal investigation at the same time, and that six of them will have to celebrate the new year in prison? Opposition leaders say it cannot, and accuse the Ukrainian authorities of having started a campaign of repression against their main adversary, former Prime Minister Yulia Tymoshenko, and her allies. The latest prominent opposition leader to be arrested was Yuri Lutsenko, an interior minister in Tymoshenko's cabinet. Lutsenko was walking his dog when the security service arrested him. He's been accused of abuse of office and will stay in prison for at least 2 months. Lutsenko says his arrest may also be linked to the poisoning of ex-president Viktor Yushchenko prior to his presidency in 2004. That's what the investigator told me, he said in court, but he didn't write this down on paper. Apart from Lutsenko, the former environment and economy ministers and a former deputy justice minister have also been arrested. Yulia Tymoshenko has been charged with abuse of office. She is accused of having spent money destined for environmental issues on paying pensions. But for the time being, she hasn't been detained, although she is not allowed to leave the capital Kiev and must be available for questioning. Before being questioned in the prosecutor's office last week, Yulia Tymoshenko said that the current government of President Viktor Yanukovych is running the country like a real mafia and that repressions against the opposition were aimed at having the opposition in prison when the next parliamentary elections are due, likely in 2012. I'd like to say to Viktor Yanukovych, she said, that if he must carry out repressions, to do it in such a way that the people won't start laughing when he puts the former prime minister behind bars for paying pensions. Yanukovych denies the allegations. During a recent television interview, he stressed that the president doesn't have the power to exert influence on the courts and that besides, Tymoshenko has all means at her disposal to defend herself. Opinion polls show that a growing number of Ukrainians have little faith in their president, even though other politicians' ratings are even worse. Many people appear to be tired from politics. The more surprising it is, then, that in November thousands of angry entrepreneurs took to the streets to protest against the new tax bill. The specter of a new Orange Revolution was in the air again, albeit not for long. The protest movement emerged without the backing of political parties. Yanukovych got away with it by changing the law on some points. But the episode did reveal the potential for large-scale political action in Ukraine. The ongoing prosecution of opposition leaders could well ignite new protests in 2011, likely to be a pre-election year. Gerhard Gurkamp, Deutsche Welle Radio, in Moscow.
And thanks to Deutsche Welle, Germany's international broadcaster, for today's news on Ukraine. For more news, visit Deutsche Welle online at www.dw-world.de.
Ooh.
Of a blast from the past, not too far past, but it qualifies as past because this is from a vinyl recording that got a fair bit of airplay during the first incarnation of Nash Holos back in the 1990s. The group is called Troyanda, and it is from an album that is simply called Troyanda, and it features Orestia Lubinsky, who's a coloratura soprano, Laura Prokopovich, who's a contralto soprano, and Michael Curry, who is the pianist. And that song you heard was a Zhartov Levy Pisni, a collection of comical songs. Up next, something more contemporary, a group from Edmonton, Alberta, and from a CD called Beauty is Not Contagious. The group is called Migrena, here they are now, with Persha Lyubov, First Love.
Zazirjajut Beskonečno tlanju cara Polja Čute je skrepljat Mokri drva I kladucan stički na vesti Peša ljubov Selji nebesa Na procvitaje umele žetja Ne potorjaje ća, ne potorjaje ća Oj ne povedne ća, meni ljubav taka Ne potorjaje ća, ne potorjaje ća Oj ne povedne ća Široki stepen I veseli dni Zustriči jasni Zvezda je ća učora Leš pošle Peša ljubav Selji nebesa Vesna procvitaje Ne potorjaje ća,
Said Pavlovsky, and this is Cultural Capsule, especially for Nash Holos. There are so many things that we take for granted today. This is even stronger as a younger generation has become extremely digitized. There are even actual debates about dropping cursive writing as a basic skill in schools. For centuries, both in the West and Slavic worlds, so much of what we know of the past was passed down to us by way of the written word. Then, in the mid-1400s, along came a fellow with quite a long name, who most of us know by the name of Johannes Gutenberg, who changed all that. The innovative technology of movable type eventually made its way to the Slavic world, and is attributed to a man who studied at the Jagiellonian University in Krakow and received his baccalaureate in 1532. Prior to arriving in Lviv in 1572, he had been in the city of Zabludów, which is now contemporary northeastern Poland. Yet what had brought him to that place, and why was he at this point in Lviv? Some say that the new technology he introduced while in Moscow may have been a threat to the business interests of the Muscovite aristocrats. When his print shop was set ablaze, he and his business partner fled to Zabludów. There, under the patronage of Grand Hetman of Lithuania, Rihori Chodkiewicz, he worked as a bookprinter. While in Zabludów, he changed his name from Johannes Theodori Moskus to Ivan Fedorovich. Upon the death of his benefactor in 1572, he traveled to Lviv. 2 years later, he printed the first apostle at the St. Onufrius Monastery, located at what is now 36 Bohdana Khmelnytsky Street in current-day Lviv. In the afterword of this publication, he wrote about his printing experiences in Moscow. In May of 1574, Fedorovich was hired by Knyaz Ostrovsky to relocate to Ostiv, where he would undertake the printing of Ukraine's first complete Bible. Though due to the long editorial processes, the first copy of what became known as the Ostrovska Biblia, or the Ostiv Bible, only came off of Fedorovich's press on August 12, 1581. It comprised of 682 sheets of paper, or 1,256 pages. Fedorovich sold a couple hundred copies of the Bible in Lviv, and after a falling out with his employer in 1582, he returned to Lviv. During the last 2 years of his life, he traveled, visiting Krakow and Vienna. He died on December 15, 1583, and is buried at the St. Onufrius Monastery. I'm Vasily Pavlovsky, and this week's Cultural Capsule featured Ivan Fedorovich, Ukraine's Gutenberg. Thank you.
погляд ваш неначе материнський, і щось у серці стиснулось мені. Ну як там дома, чи цвіте калина, чи пахнуть чебреці спориші? Мене забула, мабуть, Україна, яка живе, живе в моїй душі. Ну як там дома, чи цвіте калина, чи пахнуть чебреці спориші?
Thank you.
And from Leeds, England, that was the Ukrainians from their most recent CD, Diaspora, and a song called Chumaker, which means merchants. And for some 500 years, the Chumaks carted their wares across the steppes, trading as far as Hungary and Muscovy. The lyric is from a traditional song which describes their preparations leading up to their journey. And again, that was the Ukrainians with Chumaker. And you're listening to Nosh Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio, broadcasting from Vancouver Island, Canada, for PCJ Radio.
Високі та струнки, ще на бороді ямка. Високі та струнки, високі та струнки, ще на бороді ямка.
Паричко, ти паричко, люблю я твою вроду.
Люблю дивитися, як ти йдеш по воду. Люблю дивитися, як ти йдеш по воду.
На голі два дубочки, обидва зелененькі.
Ми так і паровані, обоє молоденькі. Ми так і паровані, ми так і паровані, обоє молоденькі.
Ой, піду я до лісу, отай дуба заховишу.
Я звідси не поїду, кохання не залишу. Я звідси не поїду, кохання не залишу.
Ой, чорна я си чорна, чорнява як циганка.
Щоб си я полюбила, чорнявого Іванка. Щоб си я полюбила, чорнявого Іванка.
From Edmonton, Alberta, that was the Playboy Band with Chorni Ochka, Dark Eyes. And before them, you heard Anatoly Rudenko and the Folklore Ensemble Kyiv from Ukraine with Oy Chorna, Yasi Chorna, another song about dark-eyed beauty. And having pale blue eyes myself, I guess that kind of leaves me out of the running in the beauty category. But then again, I have a face for radio. For the very best in Ukrainian music from all corners of the globe, tune in to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio, coming to you courtesy Keith Perron and PCJ Radio. This broadcast will be archived at the PCJ website, which is pcjmedia.com. And you can find out more about Nash Holos and catch the Vancouver broadcast and local happenings there at the Nash Holos website, which is nashholos.com, and that is N-A-S-H-H-O-L-O-S. Our time together is just about up, but before I leave you, some Ukrainian words of wisdom. Леш усе те сильним буває, що фундамент під собою добре має. And our proverb of the week translates as, only that which rests on a solid foundation is truly strong. Well, that about wraps up our program, so I will leave you with one last polka, and it is by the Ukrainian old-timers from Winnipeg on a theme that probably a lot of farmers, well, actually anybody living on the Canadian prairies or the American plains might be wishing for in the next few weeks ahead, given the forecast for flooding in this La Nina year in this part of the world, and the song is called the Dry River Polka. I'm Paulette Demchik-McQuarrie on behalf of all of us here at Nash Holos and PCJ Radio. Thanks so much for listening. Till next time, do побачення.